Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Chaf Gimel. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zeichen Nishmas Libik Gavriel Bashmuel. We're back on Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. We're starting today at the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins. Hakelav Bagadisha Kafsa Mirosh Agag. So you have a dog and a goat jumping off, not both, but either. You have a dog and a goat jumping off of a rooftop, the Shivros HaKelim. And upon landing, they land on somebody else's utensils. So Mishalom Nezik Shalom, Mip Neshayim Wadon. So that's what they do, and that's because as a result of that's what they do, so therefore the owner of these animals are obligated to pay for the damage which they do. We'll file this under Regel. This is a normal activity for them. And so therefore the damage that they do is going to be chayv. Obviously this is talking about Rishus HaNizak. Has to be in the property of the Nizak, because as we know, Shein and Regel are Pater and Rishus HaRabim. So therefore the full damages have to be paid, but only if the damages occur in the property of the one who was damaged. Hakel Shenato Charara. Now this case should sound familiar. We spent already some time earlier in the Masechta talking about this Mishnah, talking about this particular case. Let's go. Hakel Shenato Charara. So the dog takes Charara. Charara is a cake, but cake that baked directly over coals. And Vahalach L'Gadish. And so therefore the cake is, number one, it's food as far as the dog is concerned. And also because it's got some sort of residual coals on it, so it's also able to start a fire. And so what this particular dog, what this man's best friend is doing now is basically two forms of damages. Number one, halach l'gadish, I'm sorry, v'halach l'gadish. So the dog takes the cake with some coals on it and goes over to a haystack, and achal charara, this dog eats the cake, v'hilach l'gadish, and also at the same time lights the fire that burns the haystack on fire. Now the dog owner has gotten to now make two compensations. One, for the cake that the dog ate. Two, for the fire that was set. So the Mishnah says that for the cake, the dog is going to have to pay Nezik Shalom, full damages, because this is what's called Shein, this is eating. And so therefore, full compensation needs to be made. And Val Gadish, Mishalom Chatzi Nezik. Now for the burning of the fire, so for that you have to pay Chatzi Nezik. You have to pay half damages. So stay tuned as we're going to be spending some time in the course of today's daf explaining why for the burning of the fire you're only going to have to, the owner of the dog has to pay for half damages, not full damages, not zero damages, but specifically half damages. Please stay tuned. We're going to be discussing that at length over the course of this morning. Okay. The first topic the Gemara is going to be covering is jumping. Generally speaking, the Gemara is going to assume that when these animals jump, the goat and the dog, so they're always going to jump with some sort of trajectory. Meaning the animal is going to jump off of a wall, and the animal is not going to land straight directly below the area of the wall. But the assumption is that the jump is going to be occurring, and because it's going to be at a trajectory, so therefore it's going to go off some distance away from the wall. So considering that, the Gemara now just starts the following discussion. Time to kafta anaf lepater. The reason why the owner of this animal is liable is because the animal jumped. But let's say the animal fell. Right, it's hard to imagine, especially if you can imagine a cat, but we're not talking about cats, we're talking about dogs and goats, and so therefore, by accident, they fell off the wall. And they land on someone else's property. And they damage that other person's property, putter. So the Mishnah doesn't say this, but the inference in the Mishnah is that you would be exempt. So this is now a scenario of what? This is called accidental. Right, ones. Now, when it comes to people, we're going to be spending a lot of time the next couple of days, starting on Chav Vav specifically, where we talk about by people, there are no such thing as accidents. Adam Mu'ad La'olam. When a person does damage, regardless of whether it was on purpose, it was by accident, so there may be a limit in terms of when we're talking about human beings in terms of liability for any damage they do, but generally speaking, the rule is when it comes to people, Adam Mu'ad La'olam. So by people, it's hard to make these distinctions between it wasn't on purpose, it was an accident, okay, etc., etc. But we're not talking about people, we're talking about animals. So by animals, generally speaking, animals, your mammon, so you're responsible for the damage caused by your money, but only if it's something that was foreseeable. If it was something which was accidental, so we'll put this under the category of ones, and therefore you, the owner of the animal, are going to be pater. And that's what the Mishnah points out. That if the animal falls awkwardly off the wall and lands on someone else's kli, so this is what's called an ones, and therefore you, the owner of the animal, will be potter. So the Gemara says, well, this is tchilasa bepshia. The beginnings of this is negligence, and the ends of this is considered ones. And if our reading of the Mishnah is correct and our inference of the Mishnah is correct, so what do you see? You see that tchilasa bepshia, that if it starts off as poshea, and sofa ba'ones, but it ends in something which was accidental. So our Mishnah, again, the inference of the Mishnah would seem to indicate that you would be exempt. And the Gemara says, oh, by the way, we have a brisa supporting this as well. So not only can we read this inferentially from the Mishnah, the brisa is going to say it explicitly. The brisa writes, if the animal jumps off the wall, so this is your animal now doing something that it was expected to have done, and you should have been careful about it, and it lands in someone else's property and breaks their kli, you're responsible and liable for full damages. That's called rego. Naflu peturim. And the brisa says, but if the animal falls awkwardly, so now you're going to be exempt, because even though the animal jumping from your wall is something expected, the falling of the animal was unexpected, that falls under the category of onus, and therefore you're going to be potter. Gemara continues along this line of questioning. The Gemara says, however, this issue of something starting off as a pshia, meaning that the circumstances that led to this event were negligent, you should have been more careful. But then, at the end, what happens is that ultimately, the accident was caused by an accident. Right, the damage, I should say better. The damage was caused by an accident. So if the damage is caused by an accident at the end, so the circumstances leading to this was poshea. The end result, however, is that it was an onis. The Gemara points out, we're going to see this later on in the Bavas, this is a machlokas whether or not tchilasa bepshia v'sofa ba'onis, whether you're pater or chayiv. So if you subscribe to the viewpoint of pater, so both the Mishnah and the Braisa read beautifully. But if you subscribe to the viewpoint of tchilasa bepshia v'sofa ba'onis, you're still chayiv. And the reason being is because even though at the end of the story, the damages were occurred ba'onis, but leading to this point, it was all pshia, it was all negligence. If you subscribe to that viewpoint that you're obligated, how do you read the Mishnah and how do you read the Braisa? So the Gemara says, "Kigon demekarve kelim legabe kosa." So the Gemara says we're describing a scenario in which the utensils that broke were put up right up against the wall. Dechikafte bekfitza lo nafli alayo. So the Gemara says, because as I explained in the beginning, generally speaking, the assumption is when animals jump at a trajectory, which means then that even the owner of the animal should never have expected that your animal was going to land directly up against the wall, meaning right next to the wall. That's not an area where an animal jumps. That's a safe zone. Meaning that's not an area of pshia, that's not an area of negligence. And so therefore, when the kelim are put over there, it never was tchilasa bepshia, and that's why the owner of the animal is going to be putter. So the Gemara says that fi'afil tchilasa bepshia leka. That's why in that case, that would be a scenario where it's not even tchilasa bepshia, and that's why the person is going to be exempt. So the Gemara says, I can construct a scenario where even if the kelim of the other person were put up right up against the wall, you still would be chayiv. So the Gemara says, let's imagine that the wall separating the two properties was a very shoddy wall. It was not in good shape, it was dilapidated, and in fact, bricks are falling down with regularity. So now, that area right up against the wall is now considered an area where damage is going to occur. And so therefore, the person, the owner of the wall, needed to have been more careful to begin with. So this is a scenario of tchilasa bepshia. And under those circumstances, any damages that occur, even up against that area, is considered a tchilasa bepshia. The Gemara says, "My niyu," and the Gemara just simply spells it out. So the Gemara says, because the owner of the wall should have anticipated that because the wall was dilapidated, so bricks are going to fall, and so therefore, he's going to bear liability for damages that occur in his neighbor's property, even kalim that are buttressed right up against the wall. So the Gemara says, "So if nafal archev, nafal inu." So the Gemara says, okay, so but still, even if this is a scenario, ultimately, if you want to put that back in our Mishnah, What did the damage? Was it the bricks that did the damage? No. It was the animal that did the damage. Now, how's the animal falling right up against the other side of the wall? Only from a slip and fall. That's the only way the animal is going to land there. If the animal were to jump like it normally does, the animal jumps at a trajectory and is not going to be landing directly there. So, the Gemara says, even with a dilapidated wall, the area right up against the wall is not a scenario for an animal of pshi, of negligence. That's the scenario of ones. So the Gemara says, tchalas b'pshi of esof ones. V'halo tzricha b'kosel sar. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe the case in question is where the wall is a very thin wall. It's a very narrow wall. And because the wall is so narrow, so now even in the area right up against the wall, it should have been expected, should have been anticipated that an animal would have walked on the wall, but because the wall was so narrow, that the animal would have slipped and the animal would have fallen. So this is no longer considered a case of ones. This is considered pshia. This is considered negligence on the part of the animal owner. That would be a scenario in which all the kelim and his neighbor's property would be subject to, he'd be liable to pay for those kelim that are reachable by jump, and even kelim that are reachable by slip and fall. Normally slip and fall is ones, but in this particular case, if the wall is very thin and very narrow, so it's not a case of ones, it's a case of pshia. Tanu Rabbanan. Hakelav Egdisha Shadalgo Mimatal Amala Peturim. Dogs and goats, if they jump from a low area to a higher area, so this is unusual for a dog and a goat to do so. Something which is unusual is not regal. We could say, we will say, it's still damage done by your animal. It's done in an unusual fashion, so we'll file under Karen. We know that you pay for Chatzi Nezek. So when the Bryce over here says you're putter, the Bryce means, says Rashi, that you're putter from paying full damages, but you're still going to have to pay half damages. Milamala Lamata, however, if the dog or the goat jumps from an high area to a low area, this is considered normal activity for the animal, chayavin. And therefore, you're going to be fully liable for the damages that are done. This falls under the category of regal. But if I have either an animal or a chicken jumping, so for them it is normal to jump both from low ground to high ground, from high ground to low ground, and so therefore the damages that are done are going to be done with full damages. If you were to take a look at the last Rashi on this Amud, so Rashi notes, even though the halacha is the same for a person, for a chicken, but it's not for the same reason. Look at the last Rashi. Rashi writes, Adam Vatarnago Vechule, Adam Inami Lav Orche Likfots Malamala Mata, sorry, Malamata Lamala Chayev. The ain be adam tzad tamus ella be behema. So Rashi points out, look, as far as the person jumping, so we really don't care what is considered normal activity versus abnormal activity for a person, because adam muad la'olam. That's exactly what Rashi is saying. And that's why a person, when he jumps and lands on something and breaks something, so regardless of what is considered normal or not, right, jump down, jump up, it doesn't matter. The damages are going to be, the person's going to be fully liable for the damages. Now, as far as the bird is concerned, there Rashi points out, last line of the Rashi, Tarnagol Darko L'Dalek Afila Melamata Lamala. But when we're talking about a bird, so again, in order to assess full damages, it has to be regal. In order for it to be regal, this has to be considered normal activity. So for a bird, it is normal activity for a bird to jump from a high ground to a low ground, from a low ground to a high ground. So therefore, you're always going to be liable. V'hatanya. We're now on the top of Chavbez Amad Alf. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. Just give me a second. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. Kelev Agdisha Daga Bein Milamala Lamata Bein Milamata Limala Peturim. So here in the Braisa, we have now describing a dog and a goat jumping. And the Braisa says it doesn't matter what kind of elevation we're talking about, going from low to high, going from high to low. The Braisa says you're going to be exempt. Now, that's difficult because we just learned that it is normal for a dog and a goat to jump from a high elevation to a low elevation. If that's normal, that's regal. If that's regal, you should be chayev. So, when the Braisa says you're putter, we are right now struggling to understand the Braisa. Tir Gemara of Papa, de apich mepach. So, the Gemara says, the Braisa is talking about where the dog and goat in question are jumping, but are jumping in unusual fashions. Literally, the words mean they are jumping in reverse, but it doesn't mean that they're jumping backwards. It just simply means that they're jumping in a way that they don't normally jump. The Gemara goes on to explain. halva bizikira vigaja bisricha. The dog is jumping in one leap, and that's not normal for a dog. A dog normally jumps by scaling, but the dog does not normally jump in one leap. And the goat in this particular scenario vigaja bisricha, and the goat is doing scaling, which is not normal for the goat. The goat normally does a leap. So in these scenarios, these are unusual methods of jumping. And over here, even though the Braisa talks about elevation, it's not really the critical issue. The critical issue is the method in which the animal jumped. Once the animal is jumping in an unusual method, that's a shinui, that's a deviation, and therefore the owner of the animal is not going to be obligated for ego. The Gemara points out, we have one more blank to fill in. So the Gemara says, okay, but that doesn't create an exemption, a full exemption. So your animal did damage in a deviant fashion, in an abnormal fashion. So you're not going to be exempt. That's Karen. And you should pay half damages. And the Gemara says, okay, fill in the blank. And that is, Pater mi nezik shalom v'chayav mechatzi nezik. So the Gemara concludes, exactly. So because your animal jumped in an abnormal fashion, the only exemption is for full damages. But you're going to be paying for half damages. Keep everything to the Gemara. Meaning the Gemara right now is talking about animals. Well, you're ever doing damages?
No, you said if a person jumps either usually or unusually, it's high for the whole thing.
Yes.
But what if that person is an avid? Make a difference.
Maybe, perhaps. Off the top of my head, I don't know. Hakelev Shenato. Okay. Here we begin now. We're in Chav Beis Amud Aleph in Baba Kama. Here we begin one of the most classic discussions that takes place in the Masechta. Actually, the truth of the matter is, I went through it very quickly. Tchilasa b'pshiyah v'sofa ba'onis is also another classic discussion. Although Gemara dealt with it very quickly over here, this is not the main place to discuss it. This next topic, however, we're discussing is the main place to discuss it, and that is, we know that there are, the first Mishnah of Baba Kama introduced us to four categories of Nezik. Of the four categories of Nezik, one of the four categories of Nezik is Eish, is a fire. If I start a fire, there's an expectation that the fire is going to spread, and the fire is going to go somewhere, and I'm going to be liable for all the damages that are caused by my fire that I have lit. Here we now start a really fundamental discussion in the Gemara, and that is the following. My fire that spreads and does damage, obviously I am financially responsible for the damage that it causes. We're going to speak in much more detail. There are going to be some notable exceptions. But for the time being, let's just say it simply. I'm responsible for the damages. How halachically, fundamentally, I should say, from a conceptual standpoint, how do we view this fire? Is this fire analogous to, we're going to see this inside in the Gemara, I'm speaking it out first, I'm just giving like a basic introduction. Is the fire that you're sending out, is it like shooting an arrow? Meaning, basically, when it comes to an arrow, and in modern terminology, firing a gun. So basically what I'm doing is, I'm causing a force. And I'm causing a force to happen, and then through my force, damage is done. So if this is a way to view a fire, so really a fire is fundamentally what? It's you. Meaning, it's a koach that you started. The force started with you, and the fire spread. Now, it's not a perfect analogy, because in an arrow and in a gun, so really all the propulsion that started from you. Here in the fire, admittedly, the fire needs nature. It needs oxygen. It needs something flammable. It needs wind. It needs things to spread. But still, just fundamentally, the fire is really you. So if that's true, so then really the way to view fire is, it's just a function of you. Or to use the Gemara's terminology, which we're going to see inside in just a moment, isha mishum chitzo. The fire is really no different than an arrow. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that when you start a fire, the fire is a thing. I know that's not a great way to describe it, but you'll see in this context, the fire is a thing. And basically, if it's a thing, so what is it? It's my money. In other words, it's kind of analogous to an ox that gores. I understand, not the greatest analogy, because there you're only obligated chatzin ezek. It's like But in other words, it's my money going out and doing damage. So that's Isha Mishum Memono. It's my money. Now, there are going to be a lot of basic differences based on these two ways to look at it. But this is the fundamental question that we're going to start with right now in the Gemara in terms of how to view a fire that you start. Is that considered you or is it considered your money? Let's see all this inside and all the various applications, the differences, the practical differences that exist between these two ways to look at it are going to be spelled out over the course of this discussion. Itmar. The Gemara starts the discussion. Rav Yochanan Amar Isha Mishum Chitzio. Rav Yochanan's of the opinion that your fire is a function of chetz. It's an arrow, meaning it's propulsion that you started. Just like by an arrow, you're the one who inserted all the force and all the energy into the arrow, and you shoot it, and the arrow does damage, and you are going to be responsible. But basically, it's you. It's a function of you. That is Rav Yochanan's viewpoint. Isha Mishim Chetzio. And Reish Lakish Amar Isha Mishim Amono. And Reish Lakish says, no. The fire that you start is not considered you, it's considered your money. Meaning, it's not you doing damage, it's your money doing damage. Now, the Torah still gives the liability for the money holder to pay. Meaning, if my animals go out and do damage, if my pit does damage, so I have to pay. So the same thing is going to be true regarding a fire. I'm going to have to pay for the fire, for the damage that my fire does. But fundamentally, conceptually, the way to look at fire is that fire is mammon.
So it's the nafkamina, is it?
We'll get there. Not yet. I understand. It's the right way to think, but we're going to get there. So Reish Lakish Amar Isha Mishum Mamon. Reish Lakish, my time alamakar of Yochanan. So now the Gemara says, in terms of just the concept, conceptually, why doesn't Reish Lakish side with Rav Yochanan? I'm alcha chitza mikocho kazla. Haila mikocho kazla. So Reish Lakish says, look, I see a really basic difference between an arrow and a fire. An arrow is coming from your koach. When you shoot an arrow, you're inserting all the energy, all the potential energy into the arrow. And then when you shoot the arrow, that's all a function of you because you're the one who put all the energy in the arrow. However, when it comes to fire, so as I described earlier, Reish Lakish will tell you, a fire does not all come from you. It's not all your koach. Yes, you started the fire. Yes, nature takes its course and the fire spreads, but you cannot say that that is attributable to you. Now, of course, Reish Lakish will agree that you're obligated to pay for the damages that occur, but don't call it chetz. It's not an arrow. It's your money that's doing the damages. Rav Yochanan, my time lo amak Reish Lakish. Now, Rav Yochanan, he doesn't agree with Reish Lakish. Amalacha. So, mamona is be mamasha. Hale is be mamasha. So, Rav Yochanan say, yeah, but you can't call it mamon because mamon is something which is tangible. It's something which is more concrete, more quote unquote real. Meaning your animal, that's your mammon, right? Your pit, okay, it's a little harder to argue, but that's your mammon. But here, when it comes to your fire, it's not something which is tangible. So it's hard to call it mammon. So as a result of that, so Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan favors the idea that it's more you than it is your money. Now, Tanan. Now that we have these two positions in play, so here's what we're going to do now for most of Daf Chav Beis in Baba Kama. And that is we're going to look at a series of Mishnayos, and we're going to see which of the two fits in better. I'll just mention it because anyone who's discussing this topic of Eishim Mishim Chetzio, Eishim Mishim Amono, so you quote the question of the Nemuke Yosef. It's like it's necessary. If you heard the daf and you didn't hear the Nemuke Yosef, it's like you didn't do the daf. Even if you didn't hear the Nemuke Yosef, you still did the daf. But everyone quotes. It's a fun question. It's a kind of question. You know the answer to the question. You know there is an answer, but you just simply have to figure out a way to formulate it. The question is: if you subscribe to Rav Yochanan's viewpoint that Isha Mishim Chetzio, that when you light a fire, it's like you shooting an arrow. So that means then that as the fire is progressing, every action result of that fire, every subsequent flame that comes out is really all attributable to you. So the Nimuki Yosef says, if that's true, so then how do you light Shabbos candles? Meaning that, you know, we light Shabbos candles before Shabbos, because on Shabbos you're not allowed to light Shabbos candles. Right. We're all familiar. So it's a malacha. But, says Esther Nemuke Yosef, okay, you lit them before Shabbos. But then the fire continues, and the fire continues on Shabbos. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, as long as the fire is still going, so it is that result is attributable to you. And therefore, you should not have a right to light a fire going into Shabbos, because even though you lit them before Shabbos, but as the fire is continuing on Shabbos, isn't that you having created the fire on Shabbos?
Is he saying that it's as though you're continuously creating fire?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're going to be, yeah.
Or the fire is lit enough, finished.
No, well, the question, when the question was asked, the question is based on the assumption that as long as the fire is lit, that's still considered your action. And therefore, you shouldn't be able to do it going into Shabbos.
Is it a continuous action or just an action?
Well, the question is assuming it's a continuous action. That's the question. Now, the answer is, I mean, there are different ways to formulate the answer. You could see the Namukha Yosef inside. But basically, even according to Rav Yochanan, you're going to say that although liability is going to be attributed to you, but the actual lighting of the fire obviously occurred only at the very beginning. And even according to Rav Yochanan, we're not going to go so far as to say that you actually lit the fire 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later. Even though any result of that fire, any liability that comes from the fire is attributable to you, but the lighting of the fire still is self-contained to the beginning. Anyway, that's an Imuki Yosef. You know there's a you know there's an answer to the question. It's just a question of how to formulate that answer.
It's more important about spreading.
Huh?
It's more about spreading.
Right. Okay, good. Namukha Yosef doesn't say that, but that's interesting also. That's another interesting it's another interesting way to look at it. Very interesting. Okay, with that stated, so here's what we're going to do now. We're going to go through a series of Mishnayos. So again, how to view a fire. Is it you or is it your money? Rav Yochanan says it's you. Reish Lakish says it's your money. And with that stated, let's begin. So we're going to quote a series of Mishnayos. Tanan. Hakel Shenato Charara. So no surprise, we're going to quote a Mishnah in Baba Kama, meaning the Mishnah we just saw together. Now, Bishlam Lamanda Mishum Mishum Chetzio, Chetzio HaKelavu. So the Gemara says, now, if you're Rav Yochanan and you go back to our Mishnah makes a lot of sense. What happened in our Mishnah? Your dog took cake with coals on it, went over to a haystack, and ate the cake and lit the haystack on fire. Our Mishnah taught us that on the cake, you're liable, full damages. On the haystack that you burnt, half damages. So now if you're Rav Yochanan, perfect. Makes perfect sense. Because consider, on the cake that your animal ate, so that's shame. And obviously you're obligated to pay for full damages. Now, but what about the resulting fire that comes about? So the resulting fire that comes about, so that if Aish is considered chetz, so that means then that the dog basically sent the fire. Now, when your animal sends something, what do we normally refer to that as? Tsrora. Well, hold on, that's going to be the tricky part. When your animal, like in other words, the animal kicks up a rock and shoots it and it propels the rock. So that's what's called sroros. What do we know the halach is regarding sroros? Chatzi nezek. So now, if eishos mishum chitzo, so now we got it. Meaning we have a good understanding of the Mishnah. Because the cake the animal ate, that's shame. You pay full damages. The fire that was started by your dog, that is considered a force done by the animal. Any force done by the animal is considered tsroros. And therefore, on tsroros, you pay half damages. So as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, the Mishnah is perfect. Now here comes the problem. According to Reish Lakish, this is going to be tricky. You see, according to Reish Lakish, fire is money. Now remember, the cake that your animal picked up is not your cake. Meaning the coals, the embers that are on the cake, those aren't yours. They belong to somebody else. So now, when your dog is spreading that fire, so even though, yes, it's your dog that spread the fire, but if fire is a function of money, so should you, the owner of the dog, be liable for that? That's not your money. That's a problem.
It's like money.
No. Rav Chuck says it is money. If fire is property.
Who does it belong to?
So it should be should belong to the owner of the cake with the embers on it, whoever that may be. So,
but him it was a matter of onus because the dog.
The Mishnah is putting blame and liability on the owner of the dog. This presents the problem to Reish Lakish. So the Gemara is going to provide a suggestion for Reish Lakish. So I'm sorry, let's read this inside. So the Gemara says, so according to Rav Yochanan, the Mishnah works out great. Because the fire is considered tsaroros, and that's why the Mishnah says you pay half damages. So if you subscribe to Reish Lakish's viewpoint, that fire is money. So that means, well, the fire doesn't belong to the owner of the dog. The owner of the dog picked up somebody else's cake with the embers on it. Now, in terms of the fire, whoever owns the cake is the owner of the fire. But it's not the dog owner who owns it, so why should he be given liability? So I'm lecha Reish Lakish, hacha b'maizkinan, de'adye aduye. De'adye aduye. So Reish Lakish will tell you, okay, I understand that Mishnah is problematic. What we're going to have to do in the Mishnah is insert a slight modification of what exactly happened. Not modification, but clarification of what exactly happened. Your dog took the embers and threw it onto the haystack. Al-Kharara Mishalim Nezik Shalim. Now, on the cake, so again, Nezik Shalim, that's fine. That part's fine because your dog ate the cake. And that's Shane. And therefore, you, the dog owner, is responsible for full damages. Amakum gacheles mishalim chatzi nezek. Now, since the dog threw the ember onto the haystack, so that action of throwing, so that is throros. Meaning, even though that fire doesn't belong to you, but then again, truth be told, neither is the pebble. Or in other words, in the classic case of tsaroros, when your animal steps on the stone and then it propels and it goes, you don't really own the stone as well. But you're still going to be responsible for any damages that the stone does. So Reish Lakish will tell you that, look, even though, yes, it's true, the fire doesn't belong to you, but when your dog takes an ember and throws it onto the haystack, not for the subsequent spreading of the fire, but for that particular area that the ember landed on, you, the dog owner, are going to be responsible for that. For that limited area, that's tsaroros. And therefore, for that area, you're going to be paying chatzi nezek. Now, the fire then is going to spread. And here it gets interesting. According to Reish Lakish, you, the dog owner, are not going to be responsible for the spreading fire. Because remember, according to Reish Lakish, fire is monetary property. And it's not your fire. So for the one specific area where the ember landed, okay, that you're going to be responsible for because that's tsaroros. But for any subsequent spreading, you, the dog owner, are not going to be responsible. We'll talk later on about the responsibility of the ember owner. We'll come back to that later. But at least just as far as simple pshat in the Mishnah, that's what Reish Lakish will tell you. And therefore, according to Reish Lakish, you're going to be exempt for the rest of the haystack. It's fascinating, really. What comes down now is that there's a real difference in the Mishnah and our Mishnah. We just learned at the beginning of today's shiur. There's a real difference between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish regarding the extent of liability in the Mishnah. According to Rav Yochanan, you, the dog owner, are going to be responsible for the entire burning of the entire haystack. According to Reish Lakish, you're only going to be responsible, I understand it's an unusual case, but you're only going to be responsible for the one particular area where the amber landed. Rav Yochanan, Pater. Rav Yochanan, Dan Chenuche, Al Charara, Va'amakum Gechelos Meshalim. Nezek Shalim, Va'al Gedish Meshalim Chatzi Nezek. So, and Rav Yochanan will tell you that if this is a circumstance, wherever the dog placed the ember, so for that area, the owner of the dog is going to be paying full damages, because placement of the cake with the ember is putting it down. That's normal behavior. That's part of the eating process. Or maybe you want to follow it under regal. Either way, that's normal. And therefore, for that, you're going to have liability. And then, al-hagadish, and then for any subsequent damage of the haystack, misham chatzi nezek, you're going to be responsible half damages. Because again, for the spreading of the fire, it's your animal that spread the fire. That's tsaroros. And therefore, you're going to be paying half damages. Tashma. Let's learn another Mishnah together.
Areas of negligence. One is the dog owner, one is the person who have the fire, and one is
Right. Later, we're gonna talk later on about the owner of the cake with the embers on it, and we're gonna talk about why he's not being discussed. We're gonna discuss him later.
Also, the owner of the haystack, he shouldn't be protecting his own haystack.
I mean, the haystack was on his property. He's a victim in this case. Okay, Gamal Talm Pishtan Va'aver Birshus Rabbim. Okay, this is another Mishnah that we're going to be seeing later in the Masechta. The Mishnah describes a camel that has a big load on its back, and in this particular case, flax. Flammable flax is on the back of the camel. Va'aver Birshus Rabbim. Now, this camel is walking through a public area. Now, back in the good old days, like we can imagine Mea Shearim, as you're walking through the street of Mea Shearim, so all the stores are right up against the Rishus HaRabim. It shook also. And now, the Mishnah says, if your camel is walking so close next to the store, where the linen, the flax, actually goes into the store. Now there happens to be a fire, but the fire is in the store, and it is your camel with its flax that's encroaching into the area of the store. So then Vidalku, Benero Shel Chanvani, Vehidlik is Abira, Ba Gamal Chayev. So under those circumstances, if a subsequent fire starts and spreads and lights a house on fire, so the owner of the camel is going to be obligated. However, if, however, let's say the store owner put his fire outside, and then the camel's load catches fire and then spreads, so then chenvani chayev. So then the store owner is going to be chayev. Okay, the Gemara is going to, just give me a second. Gemara in a moment is going to spell out that the assumption going in, and the Gemara later on will say it, so is that the store owner had every right to have fires in his store, and he had no business and no right to have fires even right outside his building. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Benir Chanukah Pater. Rabbi Yehuda says that, let's say it's the 8 days of Chanukah, where there's a mitzvah to light your Chanukah Neiros, and the mitzvah, the Gemara in Shabbos, also Daf Chav Beis, nice how that works out. The Gemara in Shabbos teaches us about the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. Because now he's lighting a fire with rabbinic permission, and more than permission, an obligation to do so. So therefore now, if the camel with the load of flax catches fire, or if the flax, I should say, catches fire, so then the store owner is going to be exempt because he had a mitzvah to do so. Okay, just as a very interesting note, I know Rabbi Goldberg has spoken about this a bunch of times. You know, there's no Mishnayos that talk about Chanukah. Meaning, when I say that, I mean there is no Masechta dedicated. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi did not dedicate a Masechta to Mitzvah Chanukah, and that's kind of a mystery in terms of why that is. I'm going to learn English soon. I'm telling you, I feel good about it. He references Chanukah a bunch of times. This Mishnah and Baba Kama happened to be one of the times. But Rav Yehuda Anasi does not dedicate an entire Masechta to Chanukah. Why should that be? So again, say many have tackled that issue. Huh? The Gemara in Shabbos talks about it. Yeah, but there are no Mishnayos that talk about it. Okay, now back to our topic. So Bishlam Aman Dami Shemushim Chitzio Chetzer Dagamahu. So the Gemara says now, for as far as the camel owner is concerned, so the load on his back was flax. It caught fire. It goes ahead and it spreads. So I understand, says the Gemara, if you subscribe to Rav Yochanan's viewpoint that Eish is considered Chetz, where basically it's a force. So then, chitz degamo. So then, it then can belong to the camel. And when I say the words belong to the camel, according to Rav Yochanan, that's misleading. Fire belongs to nobody. Meaning, fire is just simply a force. And as a result of that, it's the camel's force. Elamanda, maybe Shemamono. But if you, however, subscribe to this idea that fire is property, so then, whose property is the fire? Now, granted, it spread, but even after it spreads, whose property is it? The fire belongs to the store owner. So if the fire belongs to the store owner, so then ultimately, how can the camel owner ever be liable? I know it's a lot to process. It's a lot to think about. But again, if you conceptually view fire as property, it's not the camel owners. So the Gemara says, "Hi, Eish la mamona de balgamahu." Exactly the question. So how, if you're Reish Lakish, do you read this Mishnah, and how do you understand this Mishnah? Amlecha Reish Lakish, acha b'maiskinan b'misach seches kol abira kula. So the Gemara says, well, it's not that. It's not just that the camel spread the fire, meaning that the camel was the one who was the one who passed the fire along, but rather the camel was there with its flaming load. It's a great visualization. The camel's there with the flaming load of flax on its back, and the camel is running back and forth over the entirety of the house and actually igniting the house on fire directly. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, even if you are Reish Lakish, still blame/liability is now going to go to the camel. Even though the fire doesn't belong to the camel, but still, as long as the camel is actually standing right next to the house and lighting the house on fire, so then the owner of the camel is going to be liable. So Yachi Masefa, the Gemara says, okay, but let's read on in the Mishnah. Im hinia chenvani nero mi bechutz chenvani chayav. Well, the Mishnah goes on to say that if the store owner left the fire outside of his store where he was not allowed to do so, so then the store owner is going to be fired. But even masach tzeches. But if the Gemara says, but if what you're describing is that the camel with its flaming load of linen on its back is going around and directly lighting the house on fire, so what difference does it make whether or not the store owner had the fire internal in the store or directly outside the store? Am I chayev? So the Gemara says, so why should you be chayev? So the Gemara says, Bisha Amda. Well, the Gemara says, well, the camel was standing still. Rashi describes, Amar Agama b'mkama v'sichsech es kol abira. Shahaisech avilas gedola keneged kol abira. The load on its back, it's kind of hard to visualize this, but the load on the back of the camel was immense, and the camel didn't actually have to run around in order to spread the fire. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, if that's the circumstance, and by the way, the house can't be that particularly big, but either way, if that's true, what just happened? So amda v'sichsicha koshekin dechenvani pater. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then the store owner for sure should be exempt. And the owner of the camel should be chayev. Meaning, if really all this is coming about because the animal is standing right next to the house, and the load on the back of the camel is so large that without even having to move, the entire house is going on fire with direct contact with the camel. So then Gemara says, so why should the store owner be at all obligated? So Amar Ravuna bar Manoch Mishmei Deravika Hach B'Maiskinik Kegon She'am Delatel Meimel. So the Gemara says, well, the camel stopped, but for a good reason. Camel stopped because nature called, and the camel had to relieve himself. And so this, Rashi explains, now falls under the category of Ones. And onus rachmana patre. And again, when we're talking about your camel, not you, but when you're talking about your camel, so that falls under the category of onus. And now the Gemara is going to spell out the assumption that I made earlier. Reisha ba gamal chayev de lo ibay le lafusha b'tiina. Now, in terms of the reisha, meaning when the linen on the camel's back catches fire and the fire was inside the store. So you see, now we can assign blame to the camel owner because the store owner did what he was supposed to do, keep the fire in store. And so therefore, in that case, blame is going to be given to the camel owner because when he was loading his camel, he clearly wasn't careful about the way he loaded the flax on the camel. We know that because the linen caught fire from a fire that was in the store. And the camel didn't go into the store. So then, blame should go to the camel owner. And in the second case of the Mishnah, where the store owner put the fire outside the store, into the Rishut HaRabim, so then, blame goes to the store owner, because the store owner should not have put the fire over there. Okay, Tashma. We are now up to our third Mishnah. So again, a fundamental question of how to view fire. Rav Yochanan says, Eishu Mishim Chitzo. Rav Shlakish says, Eishu Mishim Amono. We have now covered two Mishnayos and basically the question of, how do you learn these Mishnayos if you're Rav Yochanan or if you're Reish Lakish? Our third Mishnah of the day. Hamalik is a Gedish Vaya Gedi Kapus Lo, the Evet Samach Lo. Let's say you light a haystack on fire. And there was a goat tied up right next to the haystack, and unfortunately the goat had nowhere to go. The goat caught and was burnt to death. And there was also an Eved Kenani there as well. But the Eved Kenani was not tied up. So Venisraf Imo, and everything got burnt. Haystack, goat, and Eved Kenani. Chayev. Under those circumstances, the one who started the fire is going to be liable. Now, as far as the death of the Eved Kenani, he's not going to have liability for that. The Eved Kenani was not tied up. And the Eved Kenani should have, could have, and should have run away. And although it's a tragedy, in terms of liability, liability is not going to be put on the fire starter because the Eved could have and should have ran away. So therefore, the only thing to discuss is going to be the liability, the financial liability of the haystack and the goat. Now, Eved Kapuslo, Ugudi Samachlo, but let's say the Eved Kenani was tied up next to the fire stack. Sorry, next to the haystack. And there was a goat close by. Vinisrafimo. And then the fire started the fire, and everything burnt, including the Eved Kenani. Now, unfortunately, not only is it a tragedy, but on top of that, it's also murder. He killed somebody. So now, Pater, he's not going to be financially liable. Why? We have a principle of kim lebedarabimine, that when you do a singular action, and out of that singular action comes multiple consequences, so based and only imposes the harsher sentence. The principle of kim lebedarabimine. So over here, because there was death as a result of your action, so therefore you're liable for murder, therefore you're going to be exempt from the financial liability. Now, So the Gemara says, if you subscribe to Rav Yochanan, you understand the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, but if money is property, so here it's going to get so interesting. If money is property, so now your property was responsible for the death of the Eved Kenani. But it's not you. You're not the one who killed the Eved Kenani. It's your property that killed the Eved Kenani. Now, it's a tragedy, but interestingly enough, oddly enough, it's not murder. It's your property killing somebody. Now, Ilukatal Ture Avda Hachinami Dala Mechayev. The Gemara says, let's say it very clearly. Let's say your ox killed an Eved Kenani. Are you a murderer? No. In fact, not only are you not a murderer, but you have financial responsibility for the wrongful death of the Eved Kenani. If your fire killed an Eved Kenani, and your fire is a monetary asset, much like your ox is, so then you're not a murderer per se. Now, I'm not. In other words, you're a bad person. What you did was terrible, beyond. But you're not a murderer per se, and therefore there should be no financial exemption over here. So this is obviously for Reish Lakish really difficult. How do you learn this Mishnah if you're Reish Lakish? So Amalach Rabbi Shimon Malakish Achav Ma'iskinan Kishehitzes Begufa Shel Eved Dekam LeBedirabi Mine. So the Gemara says, and you're going to have to say this, is that the fire didn't start at the haystack and spread to the Eved Kenani, but rather he actually lit the Eved Kenani on fire. So even if you subscribe to Eshem Shemamono, but if you're lighting the Eved Kenani on fire, so that's murder. And that's why you're going to have financial exemption. So the Gemara says, now, according to Reish Lakish, this is a pshat you're going to have to say. But if you're going to say this pshat, so then really, what did we just learn together? That if you commit murder and there's financial responsibility, well, you're going to be exempt. At this point now, there's simply no chiddush. Meaning this is all just basics. So my lamema, the Gemara says, so what are we saying? Lasricha begedid dechad ve'eved dechad. So the Gemara says, well, there are actually two owners. The Eved Kenani is owned by one person, the goat is owned by another. I might have thought that I only say kimle b'derabim minei when there is one address for both the murder and the financial liability. But Havamina, I might have thought that if there are two addresses, the goat is owned by one, the Eved Kenani is owned by the other, so then we don't apply, this is a Havamina, we don't apply the rule of Kimle Midrabimine, and you would be liable for both murder and also the financial liability. The Chiddush is over here, that you're still going to be, you're still, both are bundled together, and therefore we're going to apply the principle kim le b'derabim mine. Okay, tashma. This is our fourth Mishnah. Hashalech is a beira biyad chershot tevekatam pater. This July 4th is coming up, right? You give kids fireworks, and they shoot the fireworks off, and they start a fire. Okay, I'm not speaking from the American legal system, but you know, in other words, clearly you give the kids fireworks, so that wasn't one of your smartest moves. Okay, we are now discussing the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you give a fire to chereshot v'katan. So again, let's say, parenthetically, it's not one of your smartest moves. But we are now describing financial liability. So the Mishnah says, so as far as the courts down here are concerned, that you cannot be charged. As far as the court upstairs is concerned, you have not found favor with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, as you have done something which is clearly negligent. But the court down here can't do anything. Now, so the Gemara says, now if you're Rav Yochanan, do you understand this halacha? Perfectly. By the way, most of these Mishnayos are going to favor Rav Yochanan, if you've been keeping score. If you're Rav Yochanan, you understand this Mishnah perfectly, because fire is not a property, fire is a force. The force is coming out of whom? Out of Chereshot V'Katan. Meaning, again, it's not your smartest move, but you're not the one who started the fire. The child started the fire. So therefore, you don't have liability. The Gemara says, but if fire is property, so the Gemara says again, if I hand over my shore to a chereshot v'katan, someone who is not responsible, and then that shore does damage, do you think I'm off the hook? Of course I'm not off the hook. Meaning, I was absolutely negligent in letting my ox in the hands of someone who is not responsible. And therefore, it's my property doing damage. Of course I'm going to be liable. If you're Reish Lakish, and your fire is doing damage, and your fire is your property, so of course you're going to be liable. Okay, so how do you read this Mishnah? I feel like I'm asking this question. This is the fourth time I'm asking this question, but it's the right question to ask. How do you read this Mishnah for your Reish Lakish? So the Gemara says, "Ha'it Marla, I'm Reish Lakish, Mishmei Dechizkia, Lo Shanu Ela Kishamasa Lo Gachelas Veliba." The way to read the Mishnah is the Mishnah is talking about where you gave the kid coal, but not just coal, a flaming coal. Ava Maser Lo Shal Heves, but if you just gave him a flame, so, I'm sorry, Gachelas Veliba. Ava Maser Lo Shal Heves Chayev. So in other words, basically, what you're giving the kid is the materials to create a fire, but if you gave him an actual fire itself, so then you're going to be liable. My taima bari hezeka. Because there, the damage is so obvious that even if Reish Lakish, and even fire is mamon, but you gave him basically, you just basically pass the fire along to him, but you're going to be liable.
Right. So why are you liable in the case of the dog?
Well, because that goes back, again, according to Reish Lakish, according to Rav Yochanan, you're liable only for the area that the coal actually landed on. You're not going to be responsible for any of the spreading.
But you are liable, and according to Rav Yochanan, it's half.
According to Rav Yochanan, you're going to be, because it's Tzoros, because of the principle of Tzoros.
Okay. But here he's saying no. If you give him a coal, you're not liable.
We're not talking about an animal now. We're talking about giving it to a child. And the child does not have the principle of Tzoros. But that's a good point. But that's... V'Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu Shal Heves Pater. Now Rav Yochanan says that even if you give him a flame, you're going to be exempt. Kasavet Safta Decharish Kagarim. Because again, according to Rav Yochanan, fire is a force; it's not a monetary asset. And therefore, according to Rav Yochanan, ultimately, when the child is the one who spreads the fire, it's the child; it's not you. Again, it's not your best move; wasn't your smartest day. But in terms of liability, according to Rav Yochanan, it's not your fire. It's simply a force, and it's the child who passed it along. So, lo mechayev adam aser legavza milsa. Sorry, lo mechayev adam aser legavza silsa vishraga. The Gemara says, even according to Rav Yochanan, there will be a scenario in which you, the one who gave the fire to the child, are going to bear liability, and that's going to be specifically in a case where you gave him basically kindling and a fire. If I may, basically a lighter. is what the Gemara, that would be like kind of like a modern day description of it. Meaning something that the child can easily not only start the fire, but spread the fire. Then, under those circumstances, even Rav Yochanan would agree that you, the one who gave it to the child, are going to be responsible. Amar Rava. Let's go a little bit further today. Amar Rava. Krau Masisa Masayla the Rav Yochanan. Rava says, look, I'm going to show you both based on Psukim and on Brisos that it, Rav Yochanan really is the right way to look at it. Why? A fire goes out, and you, the one who started the fire, are going to be liable. What does a pasuk sound like? Shma mina isha mishum chetzio. It sounds like even though the fire has spread and is well beyond you, the Torah still describes you as being the fire starter. Sounds like from the simple reading of the pasuk that even though there is a subsequent spreading of the fire, you're the one who started it, meaning it's your force. And Masisa detanya pasuk hakasuv reisha balgam. I'm sorry. Reisha beniske mamono, v'siyim beniske gufo. The pasuk opens up with money, meaning Rashi points out the pasuk begins kiseitza ish, the fire goes out as if the fire were an entity. But then the Torah describes the mavir, the one who lit it. How come? So Rava says because the pasuk seems to be speaking to Rav Yochanan that even though it is you could view fire as an entity, ultimately fire is just simply a force that comes out from you. So lama lecha isha mishum chetzio. Okay, we'll pause over here. Okay, we're in the middle of really a basic debate amongst the Amoraim. How to view fire, a force versus money, Rav Yochanan versus Reish Lakish. We went through four different Mishnayos over the course of this morning, reading every Mishnah from the perspective of Rav Yochanan, from the perspective of Reish Lakish. We have more to cover on this topic.